Did a little bit myself. Most soldiers were young and afraid. They answered their country's call. They left their loved ones behind to die on some foreign soil. Their lives are part of history that made this nation great. Dying fighting evil men, so liberty they'd not take. Before them, the stars and stripes were waved proudly in the breeze, and with the help of Almighty God, they fought so we'd be free. They lost their life on earth in some bloody battle sore, but many arise safely on yonder's golden shore. Broken hearts were left behind who cried and missed them so. But soldiers with faith in Christ will live forevermore. So in their graves they lie, young soldiers and their dreams. All that we can say or do is thank God for all of them. I got a copy for all of you at the end of the service. And today, on this weekend of we remember our fallen soldiers, I want to talk a few minutes about the lives that were never lived. The lives that were never lived. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Are you a saved person? If you are, you're a soldier in the Lord's army. And Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier. I can only speak about in the army and in the days when I was there, but basic training was kind of tough. And always doing what somebody else wanted was also kind of tough. But if you've been saved, you're not to do what you want, you're to do what the Lord wants. And we're to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And then in 2 Timothy 2:4 it says, "No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." As Christian people, we're not supposed to get our life so tangled up we can't serve God. In growing up, I never would take a job that would keep me out of church on Sunday. I never would take a job. Now, people do what they want to do, but I never would take a job to keep me out of church on Sunday. A man called me up one time and said, "Listen, I'll pay you $100 a week." Back then I was making $40. "If you'll go work for me." I wouldn't go. You know why? Because he wanted me to sell a product I didn't believe in. There's some things you, as a Christian, you're not supposed to do. Some people never serve as a soldier in our nation's military. I never wanted to serve, but you know what? I'm glad now I did. I'm glad I got the experience of it. Some people never serve as a soldier of Jesus Christ. So they didn't serve in the nation's army nor the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people serve in the nation's military and they're soldiers of Jesus Christ. That's the best, ain't it? Some people just serve as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people never serve the Lord Jesus Christ or our nation in any manner. We got a lot of deadbeats today. This week, I'm thinking of the soldiers who died for our country over the years. Folks, there's been tens of thousands of thousands of thousands of soldiers that's died for this country. Amen. And you know what? A lot of them were just 18 to 20 years old.
Yes, sir.
Because when they went to battle, they were the ones that were sent out, because the officers stood back to direct sometimes. Of course, I know a lot of officers died too. But a lot of young men, they had to go face that enemy. And they didn't come back home. There's a lot of them that don't know what ever happened to them. A lot of unknowns today. What happened to so-and-so? Men and women who were in their teens and some much older, who never had the blessings of having a life like many of us have had, have lost their life. I went into a museum in Red Springs yesterday. We had a class reunion, and I was over there. So they took us through a tour of that little museum that's over there. But they had some pictures of some soldiers that had died young in the military, in the museum. Many young men have gone to service in our country. They never got a chance to even get married. Many left their loved one behind, the one they were planning on marrying. They never got back. My point is, people have sacrificed for us that's living today. And all this riffraff we got in our communities today. Not even aware of what a blessing they have because of the expense of somebody else. Folks, life can be cruel and unfair, can't it? Why was I so blessed to get to live to be 80 when so many died at 18? Why was I so blessed? Why were you so blessed? You know, it's all in God's providence that allowed it. Many of these soldiers never had a family and knew the American way of life like we have it today. Think of those soldiers storming enemy beaches under heavy gunfire and mortar fire. We see the movies and the pictures that was taken during actual battles in World War I and II, just two of the wars. And they get off of those ships and they go charging up there. And there was no chance. Only the grace of God allows somebody not to get killed. Some of them was in ships and submarines that were sank that lost their lives. Airplanes. And only the grace of God allowed some of them to survive. A lot of them that survived come back with a leg or arm missing. Some of them had mental problems. And you know, a lot of them that survived, it wasn't their skill that caused them to survive necessarily. What skill is there in storming a beach with 5,000 or 6,000 soldiers and there's machine guns and mortars are falling on you. Hey, you're out in the open, and if you don't get hit, it weren't anything you did to keep them getting hit. They just didn't shoot you. That's just the providence of God kept you from getting shot. Yet God, who is sovereign, had appointed them the duty to give all for me and you. That's all you can reduce it down to. God chose this for us. Do you ever think about those who died so you could be free? Do you ever think about that? Are we thankful for their sacrifices on this Memorial Day? I tried to put a few remarks out on our sign this week to kind of prod our thinking a little bit. None of these people wanted to die. They wanted to live too, didn't they? I think about during World War II when Pearl Harbor was bombed. A lot of our, what we call the movie stars, did you know they just quit their jobs filming and went and joined the services? Well-known movie stars. They were famous, and yet they were willing to quit that to go fight for our country. When I look around and I see the kind of life so many people are living today, as if they deserve all these freedoms. And I'm assuming they never give a thought that somebody was dying so they could be with this attitude they got. Many of these did not serve their country as a soldier, a policeman, or as a fireman. Think of the countless number of people who are a drag on our society. It's sickening to go into uptown and just look at some people the way they conduct themselves. And you read on the news, and I mean, it's evident everywhere you look, on Facebook and other places where news is at, the people that think they deserve better. And they're not doing anything to promote good. You know, there's a judgment day coming, folks. People are going to get the shock of their life one day. And they hadn't prepared for it. These young men that died fight to go stand between us and the enemy, a lot of them probably are not saved or were not saved. And they've been killed, and they'll be lost. They're not going to be saved because they got killed or because they're brave. Somebody today, oh, he's a hero. Hey, you're not going to heaven because you're a hero. You know, you can only go to heaven if you're saved. People think, whoa, boy, you know, they're really going to get welcome to heaven because he did this or they done that. No. If you reject Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. The world's understanding of this old book I got here, folks, is not a true understanding. So many people in our country today and in the world today are giving nothing for the good of their countries. Nothing for the good of the countries. Trying to help society to be better. Selfish living is their way of life. Thinking only of themselves. The robbing, the stealing today. I was watching briefly a program on TV this week, and it was entitled Greed, something about greed. And it was talking about, in this particular story, about this guy that he got caught in a Ponzi scheme and fraud, getting large sums of money, and he got caught. He was a very charismatic guy, very charismatic. He was one of these guys that could talk. You know, he could open his mouth and it just roll out, you know. And people would believe him. Anyway, he got caught and got put in prison. In prison, he got religion. And he got up with Jerry Farwell's ministries and went. When he got out, he went in Bible school. He got out and he built a church. Boy, that church filled up with people because he was so charismatic. I didn't have any of that when I was born. I never had no charismatic about me. I'm just too blunt, I guess. But I'm me. I'll be me. But this guy was so charismatic. The church, a big church, just filled up with people. And you know what? He was so talking about God's grace, God's goodness so much. People just coming there and people just loving him and enjoying him. And directly, he started slipping back to his old way. Getting more involved. And directly he got so tangled up and he was trying to make a motion picture about something and he needed more money and he would go to the church members and talk so sweet to them. I'll come over here to the money man. And he said, I need $250,000. And they liked him so good. A month or so later, he still hadn't had enough money to make that movie, so he goes back, and it's a woman, not a man. Makes no difference. They both had the money. Anyway, I need another $100,000 to finish this movie. Well, she likes him so much, she just pointed it out. I just need to borrow it. Shortly after, just a few days later, he's found out. The law has caught him. He's tried. He's put in prison. Now he's in prison. And that poor woman that gave up all that money had given him all her life savings because she believed him. He sounded so good. He was such a nice guy. He was the pastor. Better watch the pastor. Amen. Amen. You know what? She's not going to get her money back because he's in the pen now. And see what made it so? He was at a conservative Bible college, one that really taught the Word of God, and still he was a fake. Folks, better be careful with people. Oh, we had some come out here a couple of times. Oh, they're better talkers than me. Hey, you better be careful about preachers. This old book says there's a lot of false ones, that in the last days it'd be many. Everything yellow is not gold. I'm saying all this about young soldiers died and people live that way. It's a shame, isn't it? Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That's what Jesus said. I tell you what, that takes in all of you and me, doesn't it? What he said. There's no room left over to be selfish. It's disgusting to think of the people in our country who are tearing it down. Folks, the liberals are going to destroy this country. The progressive. That's what's finally going to happen when the rapture takes place. That's what's going to be left behind. And that's when the Antichrist is going to set them up, sucker them all. Because they're no God for me. All the while we have men and women dying in the service of our country for these clueless individuals. The ways of God are past finding out. I just don't understand, you know, all the ways of God. God, you can't figure God out to save your life. Why did God let you be here today? And not in jail or dead. Why did God allow all these men and women to die or suffer loss of sight, mind, and limbs? He knows. He's running the show, folks. Did y'all know this? God's running it. I think some way or somehow those of us who have been given the opportunity to live in such a great country, we're going to be held accountable. Yes, sir. We're going to be more strictly judged because of the kind of country we've had. And if we don't live lives to honor God, the Bible says, "For to whomsoever much is given," you need to write this verse down. I'll give it to you. "For to whom so much, whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him shall they will ask the more." Luke 12:48. Write that down and look it up and meditate on that verse. The more you've been given by God, the more he requires from you. And that means what it says, by the way. War is so horrible, isn't it? Even today, there are over 30 engagements of fighting in the world all the time. 30 to 40 different areas where there's conflicts. That's terrible, isn't it? In this 21st century. The word peace in our Bible is found 400 times. The word peace. But peace is elusive, isn't it? You can have peace today and war by night.
Yes, sir.
The way they got these long-range missiles now, all they got to do now, a bunch of countries, is shoot something up in the air and let it bust, and we don't have no electricity for over a year. That means you can't go out to the grocery store. That means you're not going to have any food in about a few days. That means there's going to be looting, robbing, stealing, killing, madness, if that was to happen. And only the grace of God's keeping it from happening, because this country is hated because we're so prosperous. Suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth, Jesus said in Luke 12:51. I didn't come to give peace, Jesus said. I tell you, no, rather division. I come to divide people. Think about the homes today. Some of them love the Lord. Some in that family don't love the Lord. Divided. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:8, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. That's what the wisdom writer wrote. And we see it, don't we? The psalmist said in Psalm 127, I'm for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. We must be like the psalmist in Psalms 4:8. The psalmist said in Psalms 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only make me dwell in safely. Did you know you are safe only because of the Lord?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ain't that, boy, that's a good security guard, though, ain't it?
Yeah. Don't sleep, don't slumber.
Amen. Amen. Can I read that verse again? It sounds so good. I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. One thing for sure, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, listen to this verse. This is the best one. Listen to me. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified, I keep telling y'all this, I just keep reminding you this, the word justified means you are as if you never, ever sinned. What a verse. Being justified by faith. Just by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, God sees you as if you've never, ever sinned. Don't ever, you write that verse down and keep looking at that verse, Romans 5:1. That's a good one. That's a good one, folks. The Bible says in Psalms 122:6, we are told in the Scriptures, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Yeah. And you know how it is over there now. And you know this book says how it's going to be after the rapture takes place there. It's going to be a terrible place. So today, I was just trying to call attention to our soldiers that didn't get to live a life like you've lived. Their lives were taken from them because they went to defend this country from its enemies. There's going to be war and war and war till Jesus Christ comes and finally destroys all his enemies. There's not going to be any time of peace. The only time there's going to be peace is when Jesus finally sits over there in Jerusalem. And for 1,000 years there's peace because the devil is in the bottomless pit chained. That's when there'll be peace. And so our young people today may be called on to go fight for this country. Today we have a volunteer army. Everybody in the armed service today joined it because they volunteered for it. When I come along, we were being drafted to get enough people for it. So let's be faithful to pray for our military, for our soldiers, because they can be called at any time to go to a danger zone. And not only that, their lives are so disruptive. They're moved from here to there, from here to there, away from their families. Their lives is constantly interrupted. We need to pray for our military. We need to thank God for our military. And so let me close by saying this. We need to pray for our armed forces, as I said. But God uses the armies of nations, both the good and the evil. God uses armies. And if you'll read the Bible, God will take the evil armies of Israel's enemies and bring them against God's own people, because his own people was disobeying him. God will use the evil armies. God could bring Russia against us. We think we're so godly, some of us. But God could, because we've got so far away from God as a country, God could let Russia or China or somebody else do us great harm. He let those twin tires get knocked down and 3,000 killed to get our attention. I believe God's got that mountain over yonder in Hawaii spewing out that hot lava. I believe he's telling the world something. I mean, I saw that hot lava go creeping down that mountain, and a car was sitting there on the highway, just sitting there. I don't know why they left it there. But that hot lava come down that mountain and swallowed that car. Crossed over that highway. It is crossed over major highways over there. I believe God's telling the world something. And Israel's getting ready to build that temple over there. Folks, God's telling us, you better get ready if you ain't ready. God uses these armies according to his purposes, whether it's an evil army or our army. God uses them like checkers on a checkerboard, because he's running the show. We're not running the show. He's running it all. He's accomplishing his plan. We're not controlled. Let's remember, God don't need an army. I remember in the Bible, old Zechariah was scared to death. The Assyrian army, they'd sent him a letter, what all they were going to do to Zechariah, the Israelite people. Old Zechariah was scared to death. He didn't know what to do. So he went before the Lord, and he laid the letter down before the Lord. And he got down and got to praying to the Lord. You know what the Lord did? He didn't tell Zechariah to get his army and get his men and go fight them Assyrians. No, the Lord took care of it himself. Because the next morning, 185,000 men was laying dead. Boy, God's something else, folks. God's something else, folks. God's the one controlling if your heart's going to beat next. You're not controlling it. Gail was sitting there talking to the doctors and all, and texting on her. She was texting her son a message, and all of a sudden, she dropped the phone. She was dead. Her heart stopped out quick. She didn't have no heart problems. No record of a heart problem. But her heart stopped that quick, and she was dead. She was dead before she fell over. God controls the heart, folks. Let's remember, God don't need our army. And it makes me tremble and fearful when I hear our leaders get up and talk about what a mighty army we got. God, the biggest army is not going to always win. I mean, the Assyrian army coming against Zechariah and them, that was a much bigger army than Israel's. But God didn't even need Israel's army. He just took care of them himself. That's what he's going to do when Russia and all those countries come down on Israel during the tribulation time, midway to tribulation. When they come down on Israel, God himself's going to undertake. And 85% of all their armies is going to be destroyed. Hey, folks, people better wake up. God's the one that's running everything. And that's the reason our Sunday school lesson is so good today. We need to learn to trust the Lord. The Lord takes care of all the detail work, amen? If you're trusting the Lord just takes care of everything. So let's pray for our soldiers. Because we're trusting the Lord, amen? To take care of them. Thank you for coming today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord challenge your heart today. If you hadn't ever trusted Christ, hey, today's the day to trust the Lord. Taste and see the Lord is good. I got saved when I was 14. I've never regretted it. Amen? Oh, I've wandered, stumbled, and embarrassed myself and the Lord. But listen, praise God, I'm saved and I know it. Amen? Love the Lord. Maybe you want to come today to the altar and thank the Lord for our soldiers. Many of them need our prayers today. They've been hurt, injured, lost limbs. Come pray for our soldiers and the families of soldiers that's lost loved ones. Loving God, we just praise you for who you are. Praising you, you'd give us a Bible containing your word. That tells us about you. That tells us how to live in this sin-cursed world. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God that allowed us to have a life and to get to know the Lord and enjoy the Lord and discover the goodness of the Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Bless all these that's come to church today, not only here but wherever people meet to worship the Lord. Bless. May people be challenged. May people just fall deeper in love with the Lord. Lord, Lord, there's no Lord like you. There's no God like our God. Our God is the true God. Our God is the eternal God. Our God has made us a home to live with him forever. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Bless those whose hearts are in sorrow today, Lord. Bless, comfort families. Encourage families. Thank you, Lord, that we could come to church today. Dismiss us in your love and mercy and grace. And we'll always thank you. In Jesus' blessed name, amen and amen.